Glory to God. If you have your Bibles, please open with me to the book of Esther, Esther chapter 4. And I want to read from verse 1 to 17 for those of us who don't normally read our Bibles and don't know this story. I'm going to pick it from here and talk to us about passion and commitment. Passion and commitment. The story of Esther is one of the stories we're going to talk about. And then there's another story of another woman that I listened to in this last few days that touched me beyond anything else. Esther chapter 4, verse 1, I read from the New King James. When Mordecai learned all that had happened, he tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. He cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went as far as the front of the king's gate, for no one might enter the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province where the king's command and decree arrived, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. So Esther's maid and eunuchs came and told her, and the queen was deeply distressed. Then she sent garments to clothe Mordecai and to take his sackcloth away from him, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called Attach, one of the king's eunuchs, whom he had appointed to attend her, and she gave him a command concerning Mordecai to learn what and why this was. So Attach went out to Mordecai in the city square that was in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries to destroy the Jews. He also gave him a copy of the written decree for their destruction, which was given at Shushan, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and that he might command her to go into the king and make supplication to him and plead before him for our people. So Attach returned and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Then Esther spoke to Attach and gave him a command to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's word. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, "Do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply Mordecai, "Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night and day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. "If I perish, I perish." Praise the Lord. We know this story very well. Haman, one of the right-hand men of the king, Ahasuerus, plotted against the Jews because he disliked them. He disliked Mordecai particularly, and thereby plotted to eliminate them. Annihilation of a race. That was his whole goal, until Mordecai brought it to the attention of Esther. Mordecai had been fasting. The people who heard it had been fasting. And then Esther also called for fasting. I want to say something here this morning. Please listen to me carefully. Commitment to fasting And praying is nothing without commitment to action. Commitment to fasting and praying is nothing without commitment to action. Esther knew that there is a law. If I go in before the king, if the king does not call me, he will kill me. If I perish, I perish was what she said later. But then she had to act after they fasted. You know the story by now. The truth of the matter is, until you rise and move towards your expectations will not move towards you. Until you rise and move towards your expectation. If you don't move towards your expectation out of ignorance or out of fear, your expectations will always remain a mirage. How can there be achievement of purpose? How can there be fulfillment of dreams or the actualization of vision without commitment to action? In the whole book of Esther, not one mention of God, but we saw a people of action. We saw Mordecai, a man of action, a man who values and holds kingdom principles. We see Esther, a woman of action. It was her action that made the difference. Many people in church, we are still waiting on what God is going to do when God is pushing us to act. Some of us are so committed to praying, which is okay. But after praying, what do? We do nothing. Let's say Esther said, well, gather the people to pray and fast for 3 days and nights. And let's see what God is going to do. And they fold their arms. They will all have died. Hallelujah. The truth of the matter is, until you add commitment to your passion, you really have nothing. Until you add commitment to your passion. And by the way, everybody has something they are passionate about. We're all passionate about something. My prayer is that you are not passionate about the wrong things. In Jesus' name. Anything you see that has been achieved is not by mistake. Achievement is never by mistake. You don't stumble on achievement. You can stumble on discovery. Discovery can come by mistake, but achievement comes by commitment. Achievement comes from dedication. There was a passion within Mordecai. If we let this thing lie, we will die. But he had a passion to live. To live, to showcase the glory of God. And prior to now, God had planted somebody in the palace. I strongly believe that everything we are going to need part-time, God has already put them in place. Hallelujah. I just pray that the Lord will help you and I to find it at the right time. In Jesus' mighty name. Esther was ready to give her life. And that's what passion is all about. When you have passion, nothing stops you. Passion with commitment is unstoppable. Whatever you are passionate about is what drives your behavior. Your passion drives your commitment. Your passion drives what you do. Mordecai had been there for Esther. He said to her, look, you think because you are the queen, If you don't do anything, they will kill you too. You may be the queen, you are still a Jew. Praise the Lord. Amen. When people are being derided beside you and you are like, well, I'm not in their position, it doesn't concern me. It's coming near your door. You better get ready to do something about it. You better get ready to speak up. People keep silent too much. They don't speak up anymore. America is meant to be a Christian country. A country that trusts in God. God is merciful. God is compassionate. There is no Christianity without compassion. When compassion dies in a nation, God is dead in that nation. Great Billy Graham has gone to be with the Lord. Leaders eulogize him, but they don't remember the messages he preached. They don't remember the messages of mercy. They don't remember the messages of compassion. You are a child of God, but you are not merciful. You are a child of God, you are not compassionate. What kind of a child of God are you? Maybe we are not serving the same God. God does not close the door on anybody's face. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open to me, I will come in and sup with him. Don't categorize everybody based on what somebody else has done wrong. It's been gone on many times. Oh, Nigerians are fraudsters and stuff. But recently, a white guy in Louisiana or so was arrested. He called himself Nigerian Prince. He's never been to Nigeria, but he's been using Nigerian's name to defraud people. When they see a few Nigerians, they call them bad people, fraudsters. No, we are not bad. There's no better and harder working people on the face of this earth more than Nigerians. There's no more educated people in this America more than Nigerians. The highest level of educated people in this country are from Africa. Go to any hospital, you'll find them there. They are doctors, they are misters. They are at the higher top level. To us, Nigerians especially, this is not a Nigerian church, but I need to say this. Education is so important to us. Every family pushes their children to become educated. We don't raise our children to be vagabonds. There are bad apples in every basket. Anywhere you go in the world. But don't let anybody label you. No matter who you are, where you come from, don't let anybody label you. Haman labeled the Jews and said, we are going to destroy them. No, we need to stand and say, no, we can't be destroyed. I have a destiny to fulfill. I have a vision to accomplish. I have a life to live for God. I have people to touch. I have places to go. Hallelujah. Paul Martinelli said, heaven above me, earth beneath me, but fire within me. Do you carry that fire? Do you carry that passion? Are you fueling your passion? The passion you have, are you fueling it? Because if you don't fuel your passion, you will use your life to serve others and they are going to pay you peanuts. Your passion is meant to make your life for you. In order so that you can help other people, so that you won't be folding your hands, I don't know what to do. It's because you are not fueling your passion. Esther was like, oh, what am I going to do? I can't go before the king. There's always an excuse. But guess what? When passion is fueled inside you, passion eliminates excuses. Passion says nothing can hold me back. I must go. I must rise. I must move. I'm a very passionate man. I'm passionate about you. I'm passionate about this church. I'll go any length. I'll do anything to touch somebody, to add value to somebody else's life. Let's take this ride together. Let's take this ride of passion.
And be committed to what God has called us to do. Let's be proud of who we are. Be proud of the dream that God has given you. Be proud of the vision that God has put inside you. Don't exchange that dream for useless things because you are distracted. As God has given every baby what to feed on as soon as they are born, God has given you everything to become since the day you were born. Ask your neighbor, what are you passionate about? Come on, what are you passionate about? My mother was committed to raising us. She wasn't very educated, but she speaks fantastic English. My mother speaks at least 4 languages. You know, she was committed to raising her children. She was committed to putting food on the table. And I know that's the story of your own family too. Our parents went all out. Like you two, you are going all out. I know some of us here, we're doing our PhDs. We're breaking barriers. Somebody with 3 children, you are passing your exams. You are not giving yourself any reason to relax because you see a better future. You see a better life. Hold on to that dream. Don't let it go. Don't let anybody snatch it away from you. Your best is yet to show up. You are just where you are as your stepping stone, not your stomping ground. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is somebody following me? As I said, if I perish, I perish. But she did not perish. Because if you flip the page and go to chapter 5, you will find that after the 3 days of fasting and she stepped forward to see the king, the king was so glad to see her. Queen Esther, oh, come on, come on, come on. She touched the scepter. What can I do for you? I'm willing to give you up to the half of the kingdom. But if she did not take that step, fear will ground you from becoming the best of you. Fear will ground you from making any difference in your life. Fear will ground you to the extent that you will be earning little, 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 and you will be hanging around small minds. Fear of what more? Oh, something will happen. What will people say? How will people look at? Who cares how people look at you? It's how God sees you and how you see yourself that matters. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. That's enough. And I found out that those who say, if I perish, I perish. Guess what? They don't perish. Praise the Lord. They don't perish. The Bible says that those who seek to save their life, they will lose it. But those who have put their lives out there, those are the ones that will make it out. Praise the Lord. If you are not ready to risk, you will live a life of average. What a bad life. I pray that God would deliver you and break you free from average. Average mindset, average mentality, average planning. Stop planning average. Plan the plans that are bigger than you. Instead of perishing, you will flourish. I say, instead of perishing, you will flourish. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Commitment is not afraid to jump and build its wings on the way down. Just like the eagles do, the mother eagle will come and scatter the nest and push the baby out who's never flown before. Jump! And the daddy eagle is ready. And then the eaglet John or James or eaglet Zoe is falling from the highest mountain or the highest tree and is crying, Mama, what did I do? Quack, quack. And mommy says, you have lived in this comfort zone too long. Go and make your own life. Stop banging on my coattail. Mommy, I can't fly. Spread your wings. Quack, quack.
Spread your wings. Quack, quack. Spread your wings. He's never done it before. Then that eagle is watching. Swishes down. Carries the baby back on his back again. Takes him up. It's a life and death situation. But then the eaglet now knows that, hey, I can ride the tamar wind. Everything I need to fly is available. So he just presses his wing. And now begin to glide. Until you try, you never know you can do it. But I'm here to tell you that you can. Tell your neighbor you can. Come on, say to your neighbor you can. Spread your wings. Jump. Build your wings on the way down. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I came to Kansas City, I will always tell you that story. That's my life story. I don't know anybody. I didn't know no soul in this country. I knew nobody in Kansas City. No fellowship was waiting for me. It was hard life. But I was equipped with a promise and a vision. And that vision is still unfolding. This building had been there before I came. We didn't own it. But when I came, I took the steps. When we took the steps, we didn't have anything. Those of you who are here will know that. We didn't have the money. But we knew we can get it. And you believed it and we got it. And guess what? Gradually we are fixing it. Let me tell you something. This is not the finished product. If I am able to show you the finished product in my mind, it will blow your mind. It will blow your views. I don't like mediocrity. I don't think small thoughts. When I got married with my wife was the only one earning. No money. The church was running, no money. One day she came back from work. She wasn't even earning anything like you can write home about. We could barely pay our rent and then have a little left and manage throughout till the next paycheck. I said, honey, we're buying a house. She nearly fainted at the door. I'm a man of crazy faith, believe me. I step into the tide and say, Lord, I'm here. Carry me. She asked me, with what money? Faith. And we bought the house. We sold the house. I got the code to the house. The realtor gave me the code. I went inside, rented the dumpster, began to clear it. I had not signed the paper. I cleared it, removed the carpet, removed everything that I don't want to see. Everything that I don't want to see was everything that was there. The neighbors will be passing by, oh, who owns it? It's my house. I never signed the document. I went there morning, noon, and night, and I cleaned it out. Made it nice, removed the carpet, nothing bare. The day the realtor came back, he nearly died. What did you do? I said, what do you mean? I cleaned it out. It's my house. You've not signed. I said, don't worry about that. Is it not pen and paper? We'll do that. And when we now got the approval, whoever did the approval, I don't know him by name. I can't remember his name, rather. I don't know him by face. He was in St. Louis. He said, oh, the bank has approved you. In those days, people get 6-point-something%. We got 4.5. And everybody's like, how did you do that? Faith. That's still the kind of life I live till tomorrow. Because it works. When I engage God, I know I am well engaged. Praise the Lord. It's called passion. It's called commitment. Amen. A passionate person, listen to this carefully, this is important. A passionate person does not take from what they are passionate about. You don't deduct from your passion. You go and find and add to your passion. You don't deflate your passion. You don't allow anybody to deflate your passion. That's why don't let anybody just talk to you anyhow. Oh, you know, this is what I want to do. And say, I'm not sure that's going to be possible. Just turn back.
and walk away. And walk away. No. I need fuel, not water. Praise the Lord. You find it and add to your passion. Why? Because you are committed to it. You are committed to it. Listen to me. Anything you've been giving yourself to, think about it. Anything you've been giving your resources to, that's what you're passionate about. Now think about it for a minute. What have you been giving yourself to? Who have you been giving yourself to? What have you been giving yourself to? What have you been giving your resources to? Then that becomes your passion. But then you better be aware that that thing is yielding for you. That thing is building the future you expect. If not, you are going to be on the losing end. A lot of people who are homeless today, they did not start homeless. They just made a judgment call. A wrong judgment call. They fed the wrong passion. They fed the wrong passion. Which passion are you feeding? The passion to better yourself, the passion to grow yourself, the passion for kingdom advancement, the passion to save for investment. Because when you retire, what are you going to refire on? Ask yourself a question. Will God be glorified through my present passion? Is God going to be glorified? When God looks at you and what you are feeding your passion with, will God be glorified? How many lives are you going to touch? How many people are you going to be a blessing to with that passion? How many lives are you going to transform? How many lives are you transforming? Praise the Lord. I'm here to submit to you this morning that true passion is not about you, it's about other people. True passion, genuine passion, is about others. Jesus came to show us what passion is all about others, not about ourselves. Hallelujah. We are created to live out our lives, live it out, not live it in. Live out your life, live it out. A Christ-centered life, a kingdom-centered life, is a life lived out. It's a life that seeks to touch. It's a life that seeks to be a blessing. Praise the Lord. If you find people who commit themselves to a cause or people who commit themselves to something other than themselves, check them. They are the happiest people on the face of the earth. Check them out. Not people who are amassing. They are not happy. Those people actually live in fear. And they are frustrated. But find somebody who is just being a blessing, seeking ways to be a blessing. Those are the happiest people. And I'm one of them. Hallelujah. If you are not committed, there will be no result. Then Esther, because of her commitment, removed fear from her life. She got her result from the king. The one who sought to destroy them became the one that was destroyed. Hallelujah. Brethren, let me move on because of time. There's a diamond inside you, but average cannot dig it out. Average will not dig out that diamond. Average will only dig out dirt and stones. Praise the Lord. Anything you do, please look at the bigger picture. The big, big picture. Let the big picture motivate you. Let the big picture push you on. Let the big picture tell you you can reach it. You can get there. Don't belittle your life. Don't belittle your destiny. There's more within you. I'm here to encourage you. There's more inside you. Commit to that more that is on the inside of you. There are rivers waiting to flow from you. We must be committed also to the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, and saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. Islam is spreading like wildfire. Christians are sitting down and doing nothing. Anytime you ask for grace for anything, it means you are ready to move in the direction of what you are asking for. Oh Lord, give me grace for so-so and so, and you are not rising towards so-so and so, that grace will not come. Praise the Lord. You can't ask God for grace to touch others when there's no willingness in you to reach others. Oh Lord, give me the grace to be a blessing. And inside you, you are not really willing to be a blessing. That grace will not come. That's the truth. The light of God must shine through you and I. If His light is not shining through you, it's probably because you don't have that light. I'll say that again. If the light of Christ is not shining through you, young people, young ladies, young boys, elderly people, young adults, married couples, if the light of Christ is not shining through you, it's probably because you don't have that light in the first place. When you carry that light, it must shine to others. Amen? A life that had value to other people is a life we need to be committed to. Amen? I want to quickly round up with a story. I'll try and round it up in 4 minutes. I listened to a lady not too long, a few days ago. Her name is Maria Cristina Conceição. She was born in Portugal, and her mom had dementia. She was eventually raised by an African family from Angola. She's white. In those days, it was unheard of that a black woman will adopt, a black person will adopt a white child. And the council did everything to take her away, but she stayed there. Her mom gave her to Christina to take care of, that she's coming back, but her mom never returned because she had dementia. They never saw her again. And then Christina herself died. Maria now was raised by Christina's other children. And then, life was rough. Then someday, somebody found her, and she became a flying air hostess. So she went to Dubai, and they began to fly to the east. And one day, they flew to Bangladesh or somewhere like that. And she saw the slum, and children in the slum. That triggered something within Maria. That I have to do something. I can't let these children be like this. I've been through too much myself. So every little money she earned, instead of trying to find a flight that would take her to America, take her to other good places, she wanted the flight that would take her back to that same place. Gradually, she began to gather those children together, fend for them. To cut a long story short, Maria began to do a GoFundMe. And somebody told her, if you can climb Mount Everest, you will get enough money for these children. Maria trained, and she climbed Mount Everest. A girl, and she didn't get the money. And somebody said, if you swim through the English Channel, you will get the money for these kids. She was looking for $1 million. to build schools, hostels, and everything for them. She found somebody to train her to swim. She never knew how to swim. She swam. She didn't make the money. Then somebody said, if you can do this and run 777 marathons, you will get enough money for these children. Maria ran 777 marathons. She still didn't get the money. What am I trying to say here? She was committed to those children. She had passion for them. And those things kept her going. I just became certified with the John Maxwell team as a trainer, as a coach, and a speaker for John Maxwell. And she was one of the speakers there. And when after she shared her story, people were so moved. We had a little bit over 2,500 people there. Maria, they asked her, so how much do you need left to raise now? She said, 300,000. That same day, $140,000 was released to her. Everybody saw that commitment. Everybody saw that passion. You can go on MariaChristinaFoundation.org. She has done TED Talks. Now she's working, earning a salary for herself. She's not taking any salary from the organization. And she's having success stories. That threw me a challenge. And a challenge to you and I. I'm not asking us to go to Bangladesh and do something. I'm just saying, let's be committed. There's no easy way out to success. These are not our children. She doesn't have children. But she's been able to raise these children up. She saw herself in them. What are you doing with your own story? What are you doing for kingdom advancement? Are you going to come to church and just fold your arms? Last week we were told, I'm sure, how we want to go on radio. Is it going to be too hard for each family to say, you know what, $70 a month, I can do that. So they can, we can spread the word out. I'm not saying give me the money. I don't need that money. I don't need $70. If I need money, I need more than that. I need 700 million. I'm not sure I'm ready to climb Everest, though. Praise the Lord. Maria did it. Esther did it. Mother Teresa did it. Mother Teresa said, if you want to change the world, go back home and love your family. Love. Love is what separates us. Love is what makes our passion a true passion. I pray that the Lord will bless this word in your heart. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord.